so that there's at least an inch above whatever you're binding.
Oh, okay. And then the rest below. And as long as it's 8 inches, they will gladly take it.
Yeah.
This is how, folks, we figure out how to cut Jeremy's hair.
Oh, shit, are we started?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't realize
God,
we'd already started recording.
It's fun.
You stealth recording, bitch.
Yes.
This is how we give advice from people that have cut off half a dozen ponytails in their life already to the guy who's cutting off his.
Yeah.
You see, having donated to Locks of Love as many times as I have, it's what you want to do.
Yeah, get the befores.
Oh,
I'll go get the front.
Hey, who the hell are we?
I know, exactly. Welcome to In-Game Chat for December 22nd, 2008, the official podcast of CollieandGamers.com. And, of course, you can check us out there or at InGameChat.net. It's our Christmas episode. Jeremy is getting, well, now he's primping right now.
Yeah.
He's getting his picture taken. He's getting the before stuff taken.
This is the only episode you're going to get this week. It's a monumental episode because following the threshold busting donations of the Colony of Gamers Child's Play charity drive, Jeremy is going to get his hair cut off as promised.
He said if we reached our goal, he would cut off his hair and donate it, of course, to Locks of Love.
Which is the thing. So we're here to deal with that.
Not only that.
But it's a Daniel's last episode with us.
Yeah, unfortunately.
He's going to become a Texan briefly before he becomes a Floridian.
Yeah.
Ooh.
You know.
Are you just having a great tour of the South?
Yeah.
In this little career of yours.
Yeah. As much as, I'm kind of crossing my fingers for Florida, you know.
Right.
Living in Melbourne right there at the Cape is not a bad thing. Like, I get to watch all the launches. Like, that's pretty great. That's really what I'm...
That is.
You know, if I do end up getting Colorado...
Well, if you're there long enough, you might be able to see the last one.
That's what I'm hoping. That's what I'm hoping. I probably will be there long enough to see the last
one. I really want to do that, because I was at the first one.
Yeah.
When I was a little kid. I was a six-year-old kid. Right. I was living in Florida, and I was at the first shuttle launch.
Yeah, there's also a chance for me to get Denver. Well... Colorado, Colorado Springs, somewhere in Colorado.
Yeah, we already know a guy that's been to Denver.
Yeah.
Sorry.
You should get to...
However, like, at least that would be not the Southeast.
And now he's in Iceland.
Is he in Iceland?
He's in Greenland.
Oh, Greenland.
He's in Greenland.
I always think...
He's in the icy one.
Yeah. Right, which is the Greenland.
Which is Greenland. Right.
Right.
Where no human being should ever live.
Or it was really cool before this.
Oh,
is
she about to cut?
Okay, here we go. So basically, hold on.
Hey,
offer a little exposition here. Don't just go.
James is going to talk
what
about
it. What do you got? What do you got over there? You got like.
How much?
12, 14 inches, maybe?
Of hair?
A good foot. A good solid foot.
Yep.
And that's as long as you've ever had it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, like, for most part of the time I knew you, you just kept it really, really short.
Yeah. And that's, like, a good solid foot of, like, ponytail.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Hair length is
no hanging down. Yeah. You probably got about 16 inches of hair.
Oh wow, wow!
I won't speak to your other aspects because I don't know. Thank God.
Wow. He shaved his head bald.
Right.
Yeah. Before I started growing this, I shaved it completely bald.
Really?
Right.
Yeah.
And you've had what, two haircuts since?
How did you feel about bald?
That's Becky, by the way.
It was a pain in the ass.
Bald sucked.
It looked good enough.
You're not
but
really
like,
far from it, Daniel.
I know. Well, like,
but
man,
shaving
look.
My head with a razor, man, fuck that.
No, that's really awful.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
I tried that.
I got the stupidest looking head in the world. Like, I was obviously like beat up a lot.
Yeah,
my
man,
head
I must
soft.
Have been dropped. Way
like,
more
it's
than my
really, really
are
stupid. I really envy people that have like decent looking skulls because mine is like fucking mutated and
fucking
weird
surface
and stuff.
Of the moon kind of shit going on.
Yeah, it's really screwed up. Like,
me too.
Misshapen.
Because
so.
Like right after basic, you know, like whenever you get your
basic,
my hand's shaved, yeah. And so you know, like a bunch of us were like,
she is dying to cut that thing off.
Let's break out the razors. You know?
Yeah. So yeah, I'm very glad I've still got mine, and there's no evidence of it going anywhere.
All right, well.
So yeah, what we're gonna do? Is cut it off here. Cut off above the thing.
It's gonna be
really weird.
All right.
You have to saw a lot, so it's not necessarily...
Did you bring the hammer?
Dude, we should have just busted it out of power saw.
Oh, God, there it goes.
We've got a circular saw in the other room.
You have a circular saw?
There you go.
You need a sawzall, a reciprocating saw, like an electric reciprocating saw.
She is hacking away.
And that's just one section. I knew better than try to do the whole thing at once.
This is very exciting. I'm sorry.
Get that close. That sounds really weird.
I want to try to, like, pick up the haircutting noise.
your turn.
Yeah. Now that we put the mic inside of his hair. You know, the plan was to talk while this was going on.
I know.
This is really far. This is far, far too fascinating.
What the hell? It's a ponytail. Cut it off. How much you got back there? Yeah.
4 years worth.
Yeah. Right.
Oh my god. Snip, snip. All right. So this is taking longer than we totally ever expected it to.
Just thought I'd throw that out there.
Wow.
Because while it's cutting, it's also sliding back.
Yeah, that can be a problem. That's why
you're gonna have.
That's why you use the saw. You gotta go to work tomorrow.
After I get a real haircut.
Okay.
What?
Yeah, I just missed a little section.
Oh
crap!
Oh well, it's not like you're gonna have a pretty haircut. And is not gonna be a big deal right now.
She's still hacking away. There it is.
Wow.
Me scalping.
I'm looking at his hair.
Dude, that is the most.
Holy shit. All of a sudden, you're like from the 80s or something.
Dude. You honestly look really creepy. I'm not going to lie. Jeremy is creepy.
Hang on, I got to turn on my webcam so I can see.
Yeah, I was going to say. Go find yourself a mirror or something.
Yeah, you're creeping me the fuck. Change spots. Somebody.
You need obviously you can't pull, but you need like barrettes or something.
Spot to not look at him.
Yeah, I guess so. It's just eerie, man.
Yeah, my webcam didn't work, so.
That's weird.
You guys will have to take a picture.
You need to step out of the studio and go to the bathroom real quick.
Yeah. All right.
So you can be self-conscious for the rest of the
day. Oh, look at all that hair.
Yeah. You're very fashionable right now.
All right, now
I'll
go take pictures of that.
It's like a couple of squirrels.
That's just
like two squirrels doing it.
Oh, there you go.
That's
good.
Ooh.
Trying to think of who you remind me of. You know who you remind me of with that hairdo? It's like, oh, fuck.
Some guy off some show.
Crispin Glover.
Yeah.
There we go. there it is.
I'll be right back. I'm going to look in the mirror and check this shit out. For real.
We'll be quiet and see if we can hear this.
He's got a rat
Oh, man. So
I don't think you can. It won't be a scream, and I don't think you can hear a sob.
It's just going to be tears after that.
A whimper.
That's exciting. That's exciting.
So,
So since last episode.
Last time.
Last real episode? That's been a minute.
Yeah,
anything.
I've played some.
Oh, crap. You know, I probably did play something. Since the last real one, but I've totally forgotten what it was I played. I mean, I finished up Prince of Persia.
Pop? Is that right?
How'd you feel about it? I mean, I know you finished it. I know you, Jeremy, were talking about the ending, but, like, how did you, you know...
Well, like I said...
Assign one-word emotion.
Looks kind of like the haircut my chick in City of Heroes had.
Oh, yeah, it does. what the hell was her name? Spectrum?
Spectrum.
Yeah.
That was
a chick, though.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
You're clearly not a chick.
I'm sorry. I totally underestimated your ability to make it more weird. That's awesome. Yeah.
Excellent. Wonderful.
We were talking about Prince of Persia, and you wanted me to sum up my feelings of Prince of Persia in like one word.
Well, yeah. I mean, did you love it, hate it?
The game or the ending? What are we talking about?
Whatever.
Let's go with both. The game overall and then the ending.
The game overall, I enjoyed it. The ending, I'm still unsure if I like that ending or not. I don't know yet.
Yeah, it's going to get a chew on it for a
The game
while.
Overall I thought was very enjoyable.
I tell you what.
Had a great time.
I'll tell you this. When I beat it, my initial feeling was, fuck you. When I finished the game, my initial feeling was, fuck you. And then,
I loved the ending. I absolutely fell in love with the ending. But I can absolutely see why a lot of people would not like it at all.
I was pissed on his behalf.
Well, just sort of... For those other people, are there actually a lot of people who hate the ending? Because what I've gathered is that there's hardly anybody that's getting to the ending because they just don't like the game.
Hmm.
Good for them. If they don't like the game, then they don't need to finish it.
Yeah, really.
It won't make you like it
the
anymore.
The ending won't endear you to it,
They do
it,
not
I
need
imagine.
To finish that if you don't like the game. So, I don't know. I enjoyed the game. I really did. It's It's actually very quick. But I didn't like that ending my first
time. I thought it was a really good, you know, 3D platformer.
Problem is, I didn't like the ending my first time through, but there's absolutely nothing I can do about it. It's one of those endings that I can go back to because the autosave is like right at the end. After you beat the final boss, it's right at the end, and so I can go back to it, and I'm like, well, it's like when you watch those movies and you want that outcome to be different because you know what's about to happen. It's like, man, if you'd have just not done that, we could have avoided these 2 hours, you know. But it's like, there it is, and it has to happen that same way each and every time. I wish it didn't. So,
well, I'm gonna try to get through it. I don't know if I'm gonna budget the time over the holidays to do that.
We'd like you to, because me and him were putting wagers on if you're gonna like the ending or hate the ending.
All right. Well, if it's one and one. Well. So we'll see which way I come down. Yeah. Closer to yours or closer to yours.
So
maybe I'll pick it up eventually.
Well, what did you play?
I've played COD 4 a lot last week and then last night. So. Just because there was that kind of a resurgence of it with people, and now anytime I turn my Xbox on, even if I'm like watching,
you know what brought the resurgence of COD 4? COD 5.
Yeah, COD 5. Right? Let's go to COD 4
people
again.
Played COD 5 and thought, man, I liked it better when it was COD 4, and so that's what they did.
Well, it was kind of more of I liked it better when there weren't dogs, from what I hear. So it was like,
how the hell do you make that decision? Like, I'm not even saying it's the wrong one. Obviously, it's a personal decision, but how do you make that decision between like dogs and helicopter? Those are your options.
You can take the helicopter out.
No. You could take... A good team can take the
helicopter
out.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Out.
We're playing with... Like, yes. Every time I've been playing, we've been playing with a full six-man
team. A really good team can take a helicopter out. A guy who's trying to do something on a pub game cannot take the helicopter out.
No.
That's the big difference. He'll get, you know...
Not unless he's really good with that RPG.
Or really lucky.
Yeah. So... But anyway, so it's been... I mean, like, I don't have COD 5 yet, so it works out really well for me. And I've been really enjoying it. I've been really glad. I was like, man, this is a great game. This really was a great game. I was surprised about the amount of fun I've been having with it. But then I looked at my played games, and God, that was sickening. It's really interesting to me how much time people have put in that game. And that, like, we still are at the point, like, even when we've been playing the past few days, where we'll have more than six people in our party.
Yeah.
And so we have, like, random folks that just, like, get shuffled onto the other team that are just waiting for a party slot to open up. It's been really, really interesting. Been kind of cool. That really says something about, I think, the staying power of that game and how they developed that multiplayer and how well designed and everything it was. That it still can draw people in like that. But I will say, like, Evo, if I'm watching Netflix, stop sending me party invites. Says so in the dashboard. Like, damn it, I was trying to watch.
I don't think people are ignorant of that. I just think that, like...
Well, I mean,
it eventually worked. It only sucks if you're the guy who's watching Netflix or playing the other thing. The group of five people who are looking for someone else is funny as hell.
Oh, yeah. I know. Like,
yeah, you shouldn't be watching Netflix. You should be playing with us. Yeah. Let's remind them of that.
Oh, I guarantee that if I was in that party, I'd be like, yeah. Yeah, spam them. Everybody spam them. So, I mean, it's all like... Yeah. It was really funny. My wife was like... Because we were watching The Office through Netflix. And she was like, why do they keep doing that? And I was like, it's because they know it'll work eventually. Yeah. That's why they keep doing it. Sure enough, it did. But
can you turn off
that? Yeah.
There is. But see, like, what if somebody is doing something I really want to do?
Oh, okay.
Like I said, like, it's not like I'm really angry.
What if there's genuine interest instead of just peer pressure or obligation?
Right, right.
Or somebody you don't want to miss out on genuine interest.
Or somebody that hasn't been on in forever, you know, sends me a message. I don't want to miss out on that, so. And I played a lot of Defense Grid. I'm almost done. And dear God, is that game hard at the end. It's mean. They did a really good job with it. I really kind of like... I mean, like, I like tower defense games, but this one is really good. The difficulty ramp is really excellent. And so, like, at the beginning, because I've played tower defense games, the beginning levels are like, whatever, you know, I'm getting, like, the highest, whatever, the level of it, you know, how well you did. It's like I'm getting, like, gold medals or whatever every time, and I'm like, yeah, awesome. And then you start to get in, like, about the halfway point, and they start to really, like, all right, smartass. And they start to, like, make it harder and harder and harder. And I finally had, like, for the first couple times, I had to, I failed a level. I had to start it over again. I was like, man, this level of difficulty thing is, like, going, it's pretty good. Like, they made a decent challenge for people that have played tower defense games before, and people that have not ever played one. So I was like, yes, they did a really good job with this. So it's like $20 on Steam. I would definitely get it if you have $20 sitting around. Whether you like Tower Defense or not, I think it's really solid.
I asked you this, and I don't know if you hooking up your 360 controller.
I didn't hook up my 360 controller because it's packed.
Oh, yeah.
I'm leaving after this show. Like, literally, after this show, I leave. So I've, like, been packing little bit by little bit as I go on, and, like, my wired controller was one of the first things that went. Mm. I went down to just the wireless controller.
Right.
And all that other crap.
Now, I'm just interested how that plays with those controls, because there is talk of them bringing it over to Xbox Live.
There's rumor of them bringing it over to Xbox Live. I can't get them to confirm nor deny.
There was interest when we met them at E3.
Well, they said that they would like PAX, to, but like I'm trying to figure out like where in the process they are with
that.
Right,
no idea.
No, and they won't.
No way certification.
Lori is their PR lady is like just kind of like avoiding the question. So that makes me think that like they're definitely still working on it. Otherwise, she would.
Well, I'm sure they wanted to get to everybody who can get.
Yeah, and I mean it's a great game, really well done, really, really, really well done, and so. Hopefully I'll beat it sometime, probably next week while I'm, the week I get to Texas, so I've got nothing to do, I'm going to finish it up. And then go back and, like, try and do, like, all the challenges that are on there. They've got, like, 80 bajillion little, like, challenge things built in, so I think the replayability is really cool with all that stuff, so.
How are you going to live when you get to Texas? What kind of, like, space
do you
have?
Yeah.
Is it going to be, like, human?
Not only is there an Air Force base in San Angelo, but there's a college.
Uh-huh.
So there are these apartments that are like quad style, like with a shared living room, kitchen, and then everybody has their own bedroom.
That's not so bad, though.
No, so it's not too bad, and like I kind of wanted to go with that because then, like, you know, if Joe Blow in the room on the like one of the other four guys like doesn't pay his rent, I don't get kicked out,
right?
Because I'm just paying for my room. So
I got you. That's helpful.
Like, yeah, I didn't want to like find a you don't have time to like find a roommate, evaluate whether or not you think they're going to pay the bills,
right,
and all that jazz. So that was pretty cheap. It worked out really well. So I'll have my own little space.
I just didn't know that it's fully, it was one of their things.
It's fully furnished. Which
if they were going to put you in any of their housing or
anything. Yeah, no, they don't have any.
Okay,
actually, I found out. Wednesday, that they don't have any housing on base for the students.
Oh.
So, Wednesday, I was kind of like, oh, I don't have a place to live.
Nice.
So, I kind of like, you know, poked around, called a guy, and, you know, asked some questions, and said, he was like, hey, check this place out. Which I think, you know, it's fully furnished, and, you know, the living room has a nice TV, nice flat screen. In it,
right.
So, you know, I think the PS3 probably will get hooked up in the living room.
Really?
I think I may.
Other people will touch it.
That's fine.
That's your PS3.
Here's the thing. Right now, I'm rooming
just
with...
Just show them home and they'll go away.
Right. Ooh.
Right now, I'm
rooming with, like... Because it lets you, like, pick your roommates. And it's like, there's four people to a quad. Hence a quad. But the other guy... There's only one other guy in this one, and he's, like, a 32-year-old grad student. I'm not too concerned with him fucking up my PS3.
For the new kids... That are moving in next week. Watch out.
Yeah, well, both of them are, like, Air Force guys that are there for class anyway. So, it's, you know, it's like, whatever. I think I've managed to, despite the fact that these are designed for college students, I've managed to luck out and have, like, only one college student, and he's a grad student anyway, so he's not like he's a real college student. I don't have any, like, freshmen coming into the room with me, which is kind of what I was mostly concerned about.
But that's understandable. I still
no offense to college freshmen out there, but, like, you guys are kind of annoying. So
I would still.
I don't know.
I would do.
I'm not like set on it yet. I think I'm gonna have to evaluate when I get there, like what kind of dudes these are.
Yeah,
but I think it would be a gesture of kindness to put the Blu-ray player in the living room.
Oh, okay. Well, that's why I wouldn't do it. I knew I wouldn't do it under any circumstances.
It's because it's. I was.
Why don't you identify it as a gesture of kindness?
Well, it kind of rules out why James wouldn't do it.
Man, I'm very selfish with my toys. Not that I don't, like,
I'm
wouldn't...
lucky I get to touch the PS3.
It's not that I don't want anybody else to, like, to do anything with it. I want to be able to access it when I want
when
it.
When you want to.
Yeah, like and it's like, if I put it out there, other people might be on it when I have a, you know, when I have that particular yen
well,
to, like, do something on the system.
Like the amount of playtime that I put onto the PS3 at this moment is not...
Well, your life at this moment isn't the life that you're going to be having there.
That's true. That's entirely true. So, but now I think what I'm going to do is, the tentative plan is to until I decide what I want to do with the PS3, is just to set up the computer and everything in the bedroom and then run the consoles through the computer monitor.
Yeah, I think that's best. No, get whatever switching hardware and stuff you need and then do all that.
That way I can just sit on my bed and play, or sit on the desk, or do whatever.
Right.
So, I think that's the plan, and, you know, that prevents, like, having to move my massive, heavy, like, 4 bajillion pound, because it's a tube HD, so, right. You know, those things weigh, like, you know, more than a house.
You've got, you got broadband, right?
Yes.
At the thing.
Broadband that's like included.
Okay, good.
Well, that may be bad, but, you know.
But it's Comcast, so fuck.
Well, I don't know. It's actually somebody I've never heard. It's like, you know, like, Podunk Jim's high-speed internet.
Diamond Jim's.
Yeah, it's like Raging Bill Cowboys, broadband internet. Like, you know, so who knows what the quality will be. And not only that, but, like, obviously I'm having to, you know, like, this is provided to the apartment complex, and a bunch of other college students use it, which means, like, my tubes are going to be clogged with, like, who knows how much porn. It's they're college dorms, like, really. Let's be honest here. You know, it's going to be not the probably the best, but I'm sure it'll be appropriate enough for, like, gaming and stuff. I don't think I will ever be the host. It's what it's going to boil down to. I will not be hosting any matches. But
now, you had said that, you know, you'd be getting invites while watching Netflix, and I went to Netflix today. I hadn't gone there in quite a few days, and went to the Watch Instantly thing, and they have considerably upgraded. I mean, every day they add stuff, but Ghostbusters is on there now. All movies I've all seen, but still, it's great to have them in there.
Yeah, their library's
Superman's
growing
in there. The
pretty rapidly.
Back to the Future trilogy is in there. Doctor Who Season 3 is in there that I put on my queue. So, tons of stuff to watch instantly. And it just keeps adding. They keep adding. When it first was released, there was very little. Yeah, you saw my list.
Yeah.
Old TV shows and a couple other little things, but that list has grown, so.
Yeah, we've been doing a lot of it.
I'm really impressed with it.
We, because, like, Sam and I were just kind of hanging out and are kind of bored, and, like, we watch The Office when we can catch it on TV, but, you know, we've never, like, watched it sequentially.
And they've got all the seasons on there.
Yeah, and they've got all the seasons, so we started, you know, I added season one, and it was like, all right, whatever, we'll watch it, and we watched season one, and I'm like, well, that's, dang it, that's over. So, like, it was kind of neat to be able to, like, get up, walk to the computer 5 feet away, add seasons 2, 3, and 4, and, like, while I'm sitting there adding them, she's watching them pop up on the 360. It's, like, instant.
Yeah.
And it was pretty cool. I was like, oh, that's neat. Like, we didn't even have to restart Netflix or anything. It was just like, boop, boop, boop. So, went through, and they're all in HD.
Cool.
And it streamed in HD just fine. Came out, great quality.
Yeah, kiss that goodbye.
Yeah. Yeah.
At least the HD quality, because you're
probably not
through the door.
Yeah. But. Though, you know, I mean, never know. I've, you know, Charter here has not been the best to me, as I've said many times, that they are not my favorite provider. So who knows? I can't imagine it will be too much worse.
Jeremy, you played anything?
No.
I played Prince of Persia as well.
Yeah, after I finished Prince of Persia, I hadn't really played anything other than a little bit of Left 4 Dead.
Did you get anything from Gamefly?
Yeah, Endwar just came back in today.
Okay.
I put that and, new Call of Duty in there, see which
you
one
liked
show
Endwar.
Up.
You
like
Endwar. I was, yeah.
It was all right, yeah.
That's something I'm really looking forward to playing. I'm really stoked about
and,
it.
And, I just got it because I was close to finishing it. I want to finish it up, then I'll send it back and get Call of Duty.
Cool.
So.
It's certainly something I got to throw in my
James,
queue.
James, you play anything?
I didn't play shit.
I didn't play shit either.
Well, it's just that time of year, man. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Like. So it is. Oh, and also the Demigod Beta 2 came out on Thursday. So anybody that's pre-ordered, and maybe still if you pre-order, you can get it in Beta 2. I don't know how they work that. Like if you had to have pre-ordered by the start of Beta 2, or if you, I don't know how it works. But Beta 2 came out. It's pretty fun.
Are you? I was wondering about this.
It's really fun, actually.
Oh, the news of the beta came up, and I remember when Sins of a Solar Empire was released. James, you didn't have a PC. At the time.
Yeah, we're talking, what is that? That was spring?
Yeah, and I was curious, are you now like, you know?
It was before spring.
Was it?
It was
February?
January
March?
Or February? February.
Okay.
Because it was before I was on the show.
Yeah. Okay.
Because
no,
I won
it's there, but it's there. It's just, you know, you go that long without having the appropriate hardware to satisfy certain appetites, and like the list grows. Like you can't necessarily exhaust that backlog anytime soon. You know what I mean? So yeah, it was on my list.
Cool.
A lot of they got the entrenchment. The entrenchment beta came out, didn't it? Or is it the full version? I can't remember.
No, it was the beta.
Was it the beta? Okay, yeah. So the expansion beta came out too for that. Just was it this past week or?
I think it was this past week.
Week before, one of the two.
Very recently.
Yeah. So that's another thing. I need to go ahead and purchase that. Okay. Game is fun as hell.
I was just scrolling around on through my RSS feeds and saw something about Warren Spector on 1UP and clicked the story and it said something about him making a Mickey Mouse game.
What's awesome.
And he said something about it may prompt people to say he's sold out. I'm like, what are you talking about, man? I knew you sold out back when you made Deus Ex 2.
Sold out a hell of a long time ago, man.
We've known that for a while.
Right. Yeah.
So, I was just looking to see if you might be relevant to my tastes again, but...
No.
Yeah,
I hope he uses the Unreal Engine.
You never know, dude. He may make the most kick-ass Mickey Mouse game you've ever seen. Maybe.
Okay.
How are your feelings... This reference back to an episode when the trailer for, when the teaser, I guess you could say, for Arkham Asylum had released. We had mentioned this on the show. We're like, I don't know how I feel about that. I need to see more, or I need to know more. Screenshots were released today, I believe.
Yeah.
Look very nice. But again, it's screenshots. So there's that.
Yeah,
but then the Kevin Conroy, Mark Hamill thing. They're
Man.
That. Plus, Paul Dini's writing it.
Sounds
formula's
good.
Formula's good, you know? It's just...
Yeah, but I mean, you know... It's like... I don't know, man.
They can
like,
fuck it up if they want to.
Arkham Asylum, it's like a quiche. Like...
Of course.
Here comes that Dennis Miller.
Now how is it like a quiche?
Oh, it's like a quiche, man. Come on, all of the perfect ingredients are there.
It just like, tastes like...
Like all of the... No. But like... somebody slams the fucking oven door too hard at the wrong moment, and it doesn't matter how good all your ingredients are, the bitch is going to fall, and it's totally useless. Like, that's the way I look. Like, everything is there. It's all there, but it's like...
It's like...
Yeah, man, it's totally like a quiche. I see that shit. I'm looking at screenshots, and I'm like, you bring in all the right stuff together, but it's...
I think you are referring to a souffle and not a quiche, but yeah, that's fine.
A quiche is a kind of souffle, though.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you can't look at the oven door wrong and have it.
No, but that's like that's the nasty old wives' tale.
I'm just saying.
The person who actually has culinary interests.
But as you play, you can look at the oven door. I'm just saying. I play Cooking Mama.
Our resident culinary expert.
Culinary moments with in-game chat.
Yep.
Brought to you by.
We always seem to run to food analogies.
Food in the room.
Food is awesome.
Like, yeah, but I mean, not even just like this time. We always do that. Like, we always run to food analogies. I don't know how that happens.
Food is great.
Yeah, it is good.
We're some eaters.
I'm just saying, like, the point is, like,
I understand what you're
there's
saying.
There's absolutely nothing. There's nothing you can do to convince me that bringing together all the right elements is ever going to result in a good game. Right. There have been too many times when it's just not the case.
Yeah, you would look at it and go, "There's if you look at the basis of what they founded everything on, you go, "There's no way they can screw this up. This is going to be awesome." And then you get it and you're like, "Oh, they totally
It's totally pointless. It's soulless, and it's like it's devoid of everything that's supposed to, you know, buoy it and make it a really great thing. It is simply a collection of interesting parts.
Yeah.
And that's I don't necessarily think that's what's gonna happen. I just think it's like, you know, whatever. What are you gonna
do? Yeah, I completely
It's all there. You know, you can looking at it on paper anyway, you can say, well, the story should be very, very good and the writing of it should be very, very good. The voice acting will be great. You know?
Yeah.
But that should work as well. And now it's like, well, I hope the gameplay.
Yeah, well, you know, and it's tying. It's how they tie all those good things together.
I don't know. I think of all of those things, you could probably you could argue that the gameplay is at least as reliable as anything else. If you played Riddick,
oh, that's right. Yeah, exactly.
Look at the frickin' trailer, and it's Riddick. True. That's what, like, that, it was all over the place, man. Like, it was like, okay, it's Riddick found a Batman suit somewhere on his way out of Butcher Bay. And that's what he's doing. It's the same lighting, it's the same, like, kind of environmental design, a lot of the same camera work. And if that's there, then I imagine a lot of the methods for interacting with, you know, different actors in the scenes and stuff like that is all going to be the same. That's basically what I expect, and that was okay. I thought it was fine. I thought Rick was fine. I would even go so far as to say I liked it. I just worry more about... I worry about the story a little bit. Batman should be a no-brainer for a video game. He should be an absolute no-brainer. Like, bitch comes with, like...
Yeah, but it should have been a no-brainer for a movie, but you know, we saw how those early ones turned out.
Well, I mean, yeah, to some
so,
extent.
You know, like...
Which is why they've always gone back to the... Not to the drawing board, but they've always kind of gone back and said, you know, all right... Let's go back to the origin, and this time, like, head slightly this direction. Like, let's change our bearing a little bit and do this other thing. But as a guy, he's possibly, I don't know, I don't have as deep, you know, a personal understanding of the pantheon of comic superheroes as other people do. It was never a direct interest, but I like Batman in particular is like a big deal for me. Kind of like one of those guys who, like, doesn't follow baseball, but, like, really loves this one team. Like, that's kind of how it is, which I am that guy, so.
Who's your one team?
It actually hasn't been for a long time, but Dale Murphy Braves, I'm just saying. Okay. Like, from way back in the day, before they were any good.
But, well, you liked them before they were popular.
Yeah. So,
ahead of the curve, but behind the times.
Yeah, exactly.
Very well,
you know, you live in the Southeast, and back in that point, I mean, as a quick segue, there were no, like, if you liked the baseball, that was the only thing you ever had a chance at seeing, you know, like a real pro game. Like, that was the only thing you were ever actually going to be. You could go to, I mean, there was a lot of training camp stuff going on in Florida.
Yeah, but there wasn't no.
But like, if you wanted to see, like true, you know, like, ballpark ball, that was all you could do. But anyway, point being, sorry, I'm about Batman. I don't really give a shit about comics in general, just because I couldn't get there from where I was when I was a kid. It was impossible. Too many roadblocks. Mm. That's a whole other thing. But, like, Batman, big deal about Batman, and I think he's infinitely flexible, maybe more so than anybody else, for a lot of the different things you want him to do. But because of things you need to do in a video game, and because of things that evidently... the one or two things about Batman that are absolutely inflexible, to me, seem to not work a whole lot with video games. It's easier to kill people in video games than it is to disable people in video games. It's easier to simply murder a psychopath who's trying to, like, kill you on behalf of some, you know, super mutated supervillain than it is to, you know, I don't know.
Apprehend.
Hang a mouse on his eye and then tie him up in the corner and wait for Commissioner Gordon to show up or whatever. Yeah. Like, that's a very hard thing to put into a game mechanic and make, you know, legitimate. Like, there's not a lot of great feedback in something like that. I mean, and it isn't, I mean, we all know it's not the act of murder that you revel in, but, like, as a resolution to virtual conflict, it's essentially the best outcome. It's the most satisfying outcome, you know. I fucking dealt with that guy. He has no health bar, or I blew his head off. You know, I looted his eyeball, if it's Fallout. I
mean, yeah,
it's
like, yeah.
It is absolute. It is undisputable. Like, that's a thing, and I think it works really well. So what Batman's going to do with that, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Particularly in a game setting that's more sophisticated than an 8-bit side-scroller or something like that. So
it's obviously the best-looking one that I've seen.
It's certainly, dark for whatever the hell that matters.
Because it's Batman.
Yeah, whatever. I mean,
it has a lot to do with that engine. Like, like, even the lighting in that engine was dark. Like, if you shone a light on something, it was dark light, man. It was like, that was dark, greasy. Like, that light was dirty. Yeah. It was like dirt. Those photons had, like, a grime.
It only slightly illuminated.
Yeah, right? I think it's perfectly fitting. I just don't know what the hell to expect. Like, I don't know what.
I don't either.
I don't know where the hell to expect them to go. Like, I need... If you're going to do a Batman game, I need a tone like Max Payne. First one. Like, I need to feel like Max Payne with, like, some fucked up brain shit, because I'm very much of the camp that, like, Batman never got unfucked up. Like, that was the dude he was.
He is, yeah, he's a little
forever,
crazy,
like
yeah.
a little bit psychopathic.
Well, Bruce Wayne is the mask, you know.
Yeah,
Batman
exactly.
is the dude.
Yeah.
Bruce
yeah.
Wayne is a mask
a,
and a character
a,
that he puts
foppish,
on.
He's a foppish, like, ridiculous persona. Like, the fucked up guy in the mask, that's the guy.
Yeah.
So, like, you really need to be able to let him do the things he needs to do. So, I mean, I'm trusting the possibility. I just, like, I don't know, man.
Seems like it lends itself more to an Assassin's Creed style of play where big encounters are kind of rare and difficult. And
that's,
so you capture your guy.
The entire time we were playing Assassin's Creed, we were thinking, this
was obvious.
Great. Yeah.
Look, just make it black and blue. Put some ears on it. You're there.
We're good to go.
I mean, assuming there's any kind of, mod tools available for the PC version, which I don't believe there are. Like, it would still, I mean, that'd be kind of close. Like, you've obviously got the template for a kind of gameplay that I think would be very good. I think that was...
You just have to remove the assassination aspect and turn it
into capture.
I mean, unless you wanted to be absolutely, like, cross-canonical, if you just, I mean, and I don't know if that's even possible with that character. I'm just, for my money... That thing that apparently is right at the core of who he is, I actually don't like. I think there's room for
interpretation. Well, obviously, you're the guy that kills everybody.
Yeah.
And give it a choice.
Yeah. But I just don't, whatever.
If you picked it, boom.
Yeah.
Okay.
You could never be a hero in the DC universe.
No, but I also
that's
think
okay.
That,
those guys are pansies anyway.
It's not that. I don't mind that at all. It's just, I don't see what created him.
Creating that.
Allowing for that kind of firewall in his personality. I don't see it. Like, he's not fucking around. Like, he's not just like some superhuman powerful guy with like the forces of nature at his command or like some weird shit like that that he can kind of turn on and off like a switch and it's merely his emotion. Like, I've got all these powers. How do I feel at the moment about using these powers? Well, let me think rationally and like I can just not do it. To bring his thing, his entire crusade to bear, to simply bring it to the point of actualizing what Batman is supposed to be. To flip the switch on Batman requires such a phenomenal investment of time and money and energy and focus of personality that to then throttle all that at the moment, just like crack somebody on the head and like, leave them hanging somewhere. Like, it's absurd to me because it takes so much to go that far. I think anybody who could possibly go to that point of even having all that stuff ready is going to follow through. Because there's nothing. There's barely a thread between where he is and that other place. And it's so absurdly idealistic. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
It's so easy for Spider-Man to do what he does. Or so easy for Superman to do what he does. You know, because, like, bitch has got superpowered stuff coming out of every fucking orifice. Like, it's just whatever. Everything's fucking easy for him. Batman does all this shit. It's like, basically, it's like, bitch, I built this suit. Like, I got, like, secret dudes who built my fucking car and carved out a goddamn lair under this fucking mountain. And I got shit that ain't even be thought of to be invented yet. And, like... And I'm gonna not kill you with it? Fuck you! That's how, like, that, you know, so, you know what, maybe that's me. Maybe that's my problem. Maybe it's gonna get to the point in the game where it's like, dude, maybe it's because I am that guy.
Yeah, no, totally.
You're just gonna be like, God damn it, I just wanna kill it.
And it's totally frustrating for me that I know when I get to that point, it's like, no, I have to be who I'm going to have to be. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. Whatever. I still like him. He's still my guy. We should talk to some comics guys about this sometimes. Because I used to have like comic guys around me all the time. All my comic guys moved away and vanished. Like the guys who are like as psychotic about comics as I am about games.
We need to get Ghost Bear on the show. He's a good comic guy.
Yeah, because we lost Sheldon. That was something that
that
he helped me out with.
What a perfect name for liking comics.
Yeah.
Sheldon.
It's the last name. It's okay.
It's okay, dude. It doesn't matter. It's a perfect name. I don't care. Like, you're just born.
Not
like
just
comics.
Really. It really helped me. I realize how much, like, the love of that particular thing and the love of my particular thing are very much married to each other in terms of, like, where it happens in the psychology of the appreciator.
Yeah.
And I always gained so much understanding about why I like what I like from discussions of our shared culture with comic guys, because I'm essentially ignorant of the thing as a whole, and I miss that. Again, a totally unrelated thing, but whatever. If you haven't figured out that this show's particular episode's a collection of unrelated things by now.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas!
We're bringing you tons of different gifts, all wrapped up in this tight
So
episode.
About that, I don't know. Hey, but, alright, so, speaking of Back to the Future on Netflix.
Yes.
I saw the video for
this show.
Yeah, okay, yes.
Yeah.
I saw the video for the 88.
I love the video.
I saw the crash TV video.
Right. Just that little.
Which really pissed me off because I was like, whoa, a Christmas themed thing? Are we getting this early?
I was so hoping.
You're gonna do like a night before Christmas motif with the DLC thing, and then be like, and it's still coming like 3 months from now.
Yeah,
should. You know what they should do, and it would probably be awesome. Is that
Christmas is on a Thursday, so it should just show up on the PSN.
Just give it to the people for like Christmas Day or the day after Christmas. Let it be there that one day. Let these people get a taste of it, and then take it away from them, and then give it to them when it releases, and more people, I'm sure, would be interested in buying it.
I wonder how much, if any, like little Christmas surprises are going to be.
Not a damn bit.
You never know.
Oh, well, you know, there's the virtual fireplace for 400 fucking points.
Yeah.
Well, that was a.
Or just download the goddamn demo.
What's the demo?
There's a crock of shit.
I don't know. I downloaded it.
The demo's not as hot.
it's just a lukewarm fire instead of a really thirsty one.
There's no sound in the demo, but in the real.
It's an oven range.
Yeah. A microwave with popcorn.
I thought that was kind of interesting, but I was like,
why?
I mean, 400 points?
For free?
Points.
Sure.
What, like points in general, not just 400 points. Like points?
Man, I'd pay like the. I don't
30?
Know.
30?
Whatever. I don't know. Something. It's just. There's got to be a way to attach value to it.
79 points is like what it is on Zune for like one song, which is essentially a dollar. So, you know, fuck.
Yeah, I was thinking 80 points is a buck.
Maybe it's 89 points that it's a dollar. So, but it's something like that. So I mean, sure, attach that $405.
Yeah. I don't think
$5 for that shit. No. Although, yet, strangely enough, I'm willing to shell out $10 for a game where you put puzzles together.
Heck yeah.
Puzzle Arcade's coming this Wednesday to Xbox Live. What I remember playing Braid when I was putting those puzzles. I was like, wow, a puzzle game on the arcade would be kind of nice. I was having fun putting the puzzles together.
We played.
You've actually already got one. It's the most interesting things that comes packed in the Wii.
Yeah, the Wii.
You upload your own photos.
Yeah, we just sat around my living room. We did that forever. Like, yeah. I was fucking shuffle.
Yep.
But this
is actually really good with multiple people. Yeah, like, it worked out really well.
So, yeah, it's, that comes this Wednesday.
Speaking of things on the Wii, I was talking to Raven.
Do we have to?
No. But this is something that was of interest to you, and I was surprised that we hadn't come up. He said that the pinball collection on the Wii is actually very good.
I've heard of that, and I've thought about getting it.
Yeah, I was about to say. Yeah, I know that, like, Scott is rabid over all things pinball.
The thing that I like about Pinball Effects is that it most translates the feeling of playing a modern pinball table. The pinball machines the tables that were in that collection, if we're on the right track here, if it's the same one I'm thinking about.
Apparently it's fairly new. I don't know.
They were classic tables, which is great, but I've never had fun playing the classic tables.
Okay.
I really haven't. That's cool to look at and to see it replicated. I used to own a very old table that didn't have hardly any, you know, ramps. It had no ramps whatsoever inside the table itself. It was your bumpers, and then there was a loop in the center that did whatever.
You know what? You could just take the glass off and build your own.
I don't have it anymore.
No, it's a shame.
But that's a good idea.
shit, dude, it's a pinball. Like, you just weld
still,
that shit on.
That's the thing, and it appealed to me most. There were also, I had a couple of pinball games on the PS2 that were interesting, but they were in a fantasy-based type setting.
I don't even begin to comprehend that. But yes.
Five layers of tables.
Oh.
So you'd hit a ball into one of the chutes, and then it would go up in here, and then it would do some cosmic thing and whatever else. It would be upside down, that sort of thing. It was all fantasy-type pinball stuff.
Oh, you want, like, real...
Yeah. Flipnik is what it was called.
Well, you know, like this one, if you like, you can use the Wiimote to bump the table.
That I don't like either.
You know, you can be like...
That I don't like either. If it's got the regular controls, I'll look into it. But I don't know, I'm having fun with pinball effects.
Yeah, well...
I was surprised.
And there's a new one. I didn't even realize there was a pinball game out for the Wii, and when he brought it up, I was like, I don't know. I don't know why Scott hasn't played that yet. Like, that's something that I would think that you'd be all
over.
Wii
anymore.
Well, look, it's pinball. I was just saying.
I'm...
You have to, like, wipe off the cake of... Dust.
You know how many updates I would have to download for that damn
Man,
thing?
Man, you need to sell that damn thing.
And take.
I really do. I really do. It, you know what? When I bought it, I knew what was out there, and I knew none of it at the time, other than maybe Zelda. Except for when I played Zelda, I didn't like what I played.
I'm not even saying you shouldn't own one. I'm saying, like, it's December 20th.
There's a lot of profit to be made if you sell that shit right now.
If you sell it, 2 weeks from now, you can go buy another one.
Yeah.
One
yeah.
five.
Yeah. And make off like a freaking thief, so.
It's true. It's entirely true.
I may do that. I don't know. You're absolutely right. I really have no interest in keeping the thing. I kept it around because I thought something great was going to come of this. I had so much fun with the GameCube. I really did. GameCube had some great stuff on it. But there's just been nothing for the Wii that has interested me. And I know we got some Wii listeners, and you know.
Boombox is fun.
That's great.
I'm just saying, it's fun.
So
it was entertaining, but that's about all. I think that's that. Is that the only thing I've liked on it this year?
Now there are some. You know what? There are some the conduit.
There's stuff coming.
I really want to play. I really do want to play that.
There's
actually.
Mad World.
Yeah, Mad World comes out in March. It's the only Wii game in my queue, but I am looking forward to trying.
See,
that.
See,
I've said before that I regret not having one for VC releases.
Yeah,
VC releases are yeah, my but there's this. See, but then you've got the space issue.
Yeah,
like. So, you know,
I don't know.
Like,
I didn't even mean to shit on the Wii. I was just saying it's December. It's 5 days before Christmas.
Yeah, if you've got
it's
one,
it's impossible to
if
find.
If you've
the
got
thing
one
retail.
And you're not going to play it in the next 2 weeks, sell it and buy a new one.
Yeah, that's like, all I was suggesting. I would never suggest getting. I am a firm believer in like. I don't think you should necessarily sell old shit like that. You know what I mean? Like,
well,
even
never,
if it's not something
you never know what's going to come out.
No, you don't.
You already own it.
How many people are like completely whipping themselves because they sold their Dreamcast? You know,
right?
Oh, I mean, God, it's like it's something like that. Like, I would if I bought
still
a,
got one.
Yeah, me too. If I bought a Wii, which is not even out of the question someday when the prices drop low, and I would never get rid of it. I certainly don't. Even if it totally pisses me off, I wouldn't.
That's kind of how I feel about mine. Like, I don't play it.
Yeah,
often,
yeah.
I certainly would never want to get rid of it. Like, you know, whatever. It's I'm not that actually. I'm not taking it with me when I go to Texas.
Really?
Let's stay in here for her because she plays it more than I do.
Yeah.
You know, and My Sims Kingdom just came out, and she was like all over My Sims like crack, which is actually was a pretty fun game.
And Becky just pointed out World of Goo. You know,
World of Goo on the Wii. Yeah, that's true. I played it on
only
PC,
only console. You can play it on anyway.
Have any of you played it on the Wii?
No,
yeah.
I haven't.
How does that work with the controls?
Really well.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I heard. It translated really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, I bought it on PC.
And plus you can, you know, play with multiple players, which is why we got it on there. So
does it support up to four or is it two only?
I haven't tried four, but it looks like it would.
Mm, cool. I don't know. It supports up to one on the PC. So.
Yeah.
But you're not going to... I mean, you don't get the profanity pack. That is the difference.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, pre-ordered. I get my little guy's curse. It's really funny.
So, we're losing a lot of... We're losing a lot of people here at the end of the year.
Yeah.
What was the word? Today I saw... Today I saw Factor 5.
Factor 5.
Today. Yeah.
Factor
yeah.
5. Oh, God, there was another one. I'll have to check real quick.
There's a lot of studio losses.
Yeah, there is.
And on the one hand,
and it's all been like in the past week. It's been like
a
shit ton of that shit.
Radical is now gone.
Yeah, right.
that was the other big one.
There was
yeah.
the contention of, hey, we're not closed. We just, you know, we're whatever. Today they didn't find a buyer. The staff was laid off.
Merry Christmas.
I'm going to fuck this up when I say it, but I think is it Aspyr? Aspyr. Is a company? Anyway.
I think that's good enough. That's how I would say it.
There were layoffs there. EA cut a ton of people and closed one of their studios. Midway closed their Austin studio and fired another, like, I don't know.
40 bajillion people.
Yeah.
Well,
175.
That's more realistic. Yes.
It's the same as what a lot of other people are facing. Is that in a perfectly decent economy, there's still shitty games. There's still games that don't sell. There's still all the same problems that we have now, with the added dimension now that you can't absorb a fail. You can't absorb a haze. Right now,
you know what I mean? Really can't. Like, especially ones you that absorb. You expect to sell like AAA titles and then just fall on their face.
Right. In any other time, you totally could, but you can't do that now. It's a double whammy that you can't recover from.
Aspyr apparently is known for their ports to PC and Mac. They were founded in 1996. They ported PC titles Call of Duty 4, Sims 2. They also published the ports of Guitar Hero 3.
Sims 3 is much this spring.
To PC and Mac, and published 1701 AB. So that's what they did. There was just a ton of closings going on.
The sad thing is, fucking time of year for that shit to happen. The sad thing is I think companies
and the worst kind of economy for that shit to happen.
That put out crap games. You know, like people that put out shovelware games are not throwing a ton of money into their development. And so I think they're probably still going to do okay coming out of the holiday season. You know, people.
Yeah, some of them.
You know, my horse grooming. Well, game or whatever.
It doesn't.
But
it,
like,
it's because it shit sells, man. It's
I know.
Because
like
people fucking actually buy
low,
that stuff.
Low price point, and you didn't take, but you know, $20 to make. You're obviously exaggerating, but you know, the cost of development there is so low for games because of the quality that you're producing, like, and that you can move them because of the title.
Well,
you know, and like people are like, oh my, you know, for my granddaughter, and then you know,
I've stopped being
much better than the companies that try and produce AAA titles and fail.
I have stopped being convinced of my own position. In this, I'm somewhere near the intersection of piracy, shovelware, AAA, overall development costs, console cycles, all of these things. I'm starting to like really feel exactly where I am in terms of how they all kind of come together, you know, and different arguments, of course, being defined by how each of those lines kind of, you know, subsects the whole. And I don't really know where I am anymore because I look on the shelf. And I see Fallout, which is $60. And I see Mirror's Edge, which is $60. And I really loved Mirror's Edge. I think it was a fantastic game. I think it was absolutely great for me. But, dude, I beat it in 6 hours, you know? Like, and that's okay for a lot of people, but I don't understand, and I'm not even saying that's wrong. Like, if what you can do is, like, have a shorter development time and make a game, that's great, that's awesome. But I don't understand anymore. I mean, if you want those things to survive, then people have to buy them. It's that simple. It doesn't matter whether it should live or anything like that. The way that they look at these games, no matter how good a job DICE does here or, you know, any other developer does, it doesn't matter. When the publisher looks at the numbers, they have made their fucking decision most likely before the game ever comes out.
Yeah.
Based on projected sales, based on pre-order numbers, based on all of these things, they've already made their decisions. And if it doesn't absolutely blow them out of the water in the first, you know, weeks that it's available, it's done. That's more or less done. I mean, when even EA is like, never mind. We can't capitalize on, I don't know how many, we can't continue to capitalize on 600,000 sales. Like, it's really frustrating, you know?
Right.
And so I think, you know, it's like, yeah, and if I only have $60 to spend, knowing the types of games that I like, I'm obviously going to spend the money on Fallout because I've been playing it forever. But even then, I find, like, that still doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me because I don't exactly know how the hell the two things cost the same amount of money. Like, I've started to have a lot more disbelief in the pricing scheme, you know? We understand, like, the general variation in terms of games,
mm-hmm.
but it's not as refined an industry as, say, publishing is, you know? Publishing, you understand the various categories of books, and not just genres, but, you know, novelettes, short stories, collections, full novels, you know, there's like tablature to understand like what type of book and in what category and all this other stuff and like how long it takes a person to write it usually and what the editorial process is like. All these things. Gaming is just so very different. But all the goddamn things come out, no matter what the hell it takes, within $40, $20 really, of anybody else. Regardless of system or anything like that. And it's like, that's great as a consumer because you can sort of count on this thing. But the more I think about it, the more I'm like, okay, does that even make sense? I'm not even sure it does. I'm not sure it makes sense for Fallout to be $60 and for Mirror's Edge to be $60. And I don't even know why, because I wasn't present for either of their developments. Certainly Fallout, I don't know, maybe it took longer. They obviously recycled most of their tech. Yeah. But did an enormous amount of writing and scripting.
Well, Mirror's Edge was, they should have treated it more like Portal. You know, it was an experimental title. It was a huge risk, and it was short. And if you're going to do that, well, maybe you shouldn't spend quite so much money on it and sell it at a cheaper price. Because I loved Mirror's Edge as much as I loved Portal, I think, as far as, you know, what it gave me and you know, was something new and fresh. And but so it didn't have to have huge production values.
Yeah.
It could have been, you know, very simple and straightforward and come in a bigger collection or sold for $20, and I would have loved it every bit just as much without a lot of a shine and gloss on it.
Yeah. And I don't even mean to, like, harp on that. That's just, those are the two things that I really think about. It isn't necessarily quality because I love them both immensely. Mm-hmm. I just look at them both as being vastly different games, one of which is an enormous risk,
mm-hmm.
the other of which is, to be quite fair, almost immeasurably safe.
Mm-hmm.
Because it has lasting and arguably undeserved appeal based on the Fallout name, since none of these guys are not themselves a part of the thing. Basically, you bought your way into some instant recognition. I think that's cool. I think they've done right by it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, that's there, not to mention the fact that they obviously know the formula for their gameplay worked so well with Oblivion.
Yeah,
so, like, that's cool, and I not even necessarily trying to compare them. I'm just trying to think about, what the hell do they have in common? What do the two games have in common? Well, they cost $60.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I just don't understand that. And Fallout's doing tremendously well, and Mirror's Edge isn't. So what if Mirror's Edge, for all of its existing production value, had cost $20? Is it possible? Would it have been possible for it to sell four times as many copies at $20 a pop? You know? At a third the cost. Maybe five times. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I don't even know how to do that math. I don't even understand how to realistically and logically apply that kind of market math. But I know, basically, what I'm trying to say is, like, somewhere in my stomach, I know that something's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that something is very, very wrong with where we are with each other. Retailers, players, people, like people who play games, people who sell games, people who make games. Let's just put it that way. And I'll obviously have to put the makers and the publishers in the same place because they're almost, you know, no recognizable difference, you know? I mean, there is certainly from the artistic point of view, but as an entity, you know, one doesn't necessarily exist without the other. I don't know. I just see, like, I see the publishers as a cancer on top of the developers. That's a completely wrong view, but it's how I see it. And I just, I have the sense that something is dreadfully, dreadfully wrong, and that it's not going to end well. I'm certainly not the first person to say that, but those two things really bother me when I think about them, because it's almost as if there's some kind of law that is defined by these weird market fictions and these weird predispositions of the money holders and the money havers and the money givers that, like, yes, we're EA and we're turning over New Leaf and we're being aggressive and we're being experimental and we're going to do something like Mirror's Edge and we're going to give it to you, but we are absolutely going to approach it from, like, we're going to make the dreadful folly of, like, engaging in experimental behavior and then applying that experimental behavior to this extraordinarily rigid model. And then sort of shaking our head and turning our back on it when it fails, you know? And I just don't even know that there's another way for that particular thing to happen. I mean, and I don't like the gulf between my AAA big budget console games and
right.
the kind of things you've been playing lately, which are indie and under the radar and highly successful for various other reasons because they're nimble.
Right.
And I'm not saying, like, those are fine. Again, I want to point out that that's...
Well, I mean,
I'm
that's not, one thing, like, about Defense Grid is, like, it's a $20 game.
Yeah.
Like, and in terms of, like, if you want to... I know length is a really poor judge, but, like, it was made by a small team of guys, and probably in it is, you know, six to eight hours of gameplay, like, if you just play every level once.
Right.
But
yeah,
you know,
yeah, I
and
see
like,
what you're saying. There's
that's a different thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, but
there's an awful lot of stuff on Steam and Xbox Live and various places for download that are, you know, $15 to $20, and you come to expect like a certain level of quality, and it is a completely different animal from the stuff you find on the shelf for $60. But yeah, where's the middle ground in there?
Yeah.
Or say the $40 game.
Yeah, exactly. I think there's a lot of room for something there in the middle.
And maybe that's the slot Mirror's Edge should have filled.
Yeah. And I want to jump back. One of the few things I remember from one of our recent episodes is talking about like this sort of nebulous wish list that we're at the point of putting together for the next generation of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it'll happen, man, but I don't think we can digest another price jump. If we for any reason have to suffer the same universal price jump for new titles from this gen to the next one,
from 50 to 60 like we did last year,
yeah, I think it's going to be extremely harmful. I'm not saying we will. I'm not even saying it's not justified. I just think this is the thing that begins to bother me because I don't like the part of me that's very quickly willing to sort of wag my finger in the face of like one group of people
right.
that supports this triangle. It's like, you're just charging too goddamn much money for your games. Well, yeah, that is true, but it might be the only way that they can support the way things work, you know? Like,
mm-hmm. yeah.
once you dig back deep into where those decisions are made, it might actually make sense from that point of view. Regardless, I think it's sort of beginning to be destructive to the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. And I think this is where you can see where their point of view is. They can see it's not working too, but they want to place blame on, say, used game sales,
yeah,
or piracy or what
right,
have you.
Right, wherever they
it's
get
like,
the
man,
next.
Some of which is legitimate to small percentages, I think.
Yeah,
overall percentages.
Right,
but man, people buying used games in huge quantities isn't the problem. It's a symptom. It's.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of more things that are wrong there. I think we got to figure out a better way of dealing with this.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm just under some kind of melancholy at the end of the year. You know, like all the stuff has come through. It's blown into our lives and blown out actually much faster than it blew in. And I'm left with like a couple of things that have like lasting appeal to me and lasting effect. You know, I'm left with Lich King kind of sitting out there doing its thing, although I'm much less engaged than I would like to be. I'm left with Fallout, which, when I'm not intimidated by how much I still have left to do, I'm totally into. But I'm also I'm missing a little bit of something, and I can't quite tell what it is. So I'm having all these different thoughts about, you know, where things really are, and I'm actually deeply concerned for the next. And for what it's worth, I mean, you know, no one is immune from politics and finance and any of these things, like monetary structure. Like, the very clear example of, like, no matter how unengaged you choose to be from that end of the world, you are affected by it. And these guys were dealing in razor-thin margins when shit was booming.
Yeah.
They were ready to drop the fucking axe when they had plenty of money to spare. And now they don't. Like, now nobody can afford to go into debt to fund a new project. Like, it's really, really hard.
Right.
So, like, where the hell do we go from razor-thin margins, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, that, like, that's part of what really concerns me as well. So, I don't know. I mean, I worry sometimes, like, are the various, you know, things that we assure you this is a trilogy. Yeah, it's a trilogy. We're going to do a whole bunch of these. It's really great. You know, the Assassin's Creeds and the
Mass Effects
and stuff like that.
Right.
It's like,
and what was the GameCock one that just came out recently?
Legendary?
Legendary's supposed to be a trilogy, right?
Yeah, I doubt that very seriously. I mean, I do for all sorts of reasons. So I don't know. But I kind of do wish there was that middle ground, because I think that there's an enormous market for the $20 game and the $20 production value.
Right.
And I'm not being slanderous when I say that. Like,
no, yeah.
It's very clearly a thing. I also think it's very nice to have this top end, but I'm really perceiving, like, this ridiculous hole right down the middle.
Yeah.
Where we need to back off of these, like, this high-end approach, and you really need to try to target the middle. Like, budget is great, and budget has done well, and budget has proven itself to be awesome, but I don't know. Is there a mid-range? Is there a, you know, middle-income approach to gaming? Is there? Because...
Wasn't there a recent game that was $40? But I think it's always... It's like the family games. Aren't they $40?
A lot of stuff.
What was it like? The Nuts and Bolts?
I don't know.
It was either 40 or 50. It was not...
It was like
not the full
50. Yeah. It was like, yeah, 50. And you can find a number of things down at 40, but it's... That needs to be a standard. Like, it needs to be something that we see more often, you know? Yeah. So something that, not just, it needs to be something people can shoot for as an option, you know? Which path do we want to go down? Small, medium, or large, basically. And I think that might help focus things a little better. I just know that I can't make any damn sense of...
$60 price tags.
And I don't, it doesn't make any sense. There's so much wild variation in quality and length and option and variation and skill, obviously. Yeah. Some people are building ground up tech. Some people are licensing like dusty old tech. And it's all sort of like coming out. It's all being extruded through the same $59.99 die,
mm-hmm.
you know? And it's like, this makes no sense to me. There's no way this can make financial sense for everybody. So, I don't know.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry fucking Christmas. I don't know. Maybe it's all those goddamn Dickens characters I'm looking at on the cookie tin. I don't know what the hell. But I don't know. It's just,
who knows?
I feel a little bit rotten about that stuff. And it's the studio closures and the, you know, the inevitable disappointment.
Maybe 2009 will be the year of the price variation.
I don't know. People are already predicting 2009 holiday season. Can't possibly be good as this year. It looks like crap, man. Whatever. I sat, like, essentially right here and said the same thing a year ago.
Yeah.
Because a year ago, this holiday season that we just finished with looked like crap. It was what the hell's coming out?
I was going to say, it's a year away. Like, please. Yeah. Please. It's a year away.
If it were July. Yeah, July, you can start really getting a picture of what your holiday season's going to look like.
Yes. When the summer starts to roll around, you see what titles have been pushed.
Well, and people are dedicating themselves to, with the new E3 schedule and with the ARK schedule and stuff like that, people are obviously focusing and trying to deliver the idea of it.
You know what,
of a timeline.
If it's crap next year, that's fine by me. Let's spread the shit out a little bit more.
Yeah.
No, totally. I totally agree. God, how many people wish that they would have spread this season out?
Amen.
Yeah, gaming marathons are kind of exhausting.
Yeah, I'm actually aggravated that I had to go through that. And that's a completely preposterous thing. So don't think I don't know that. But I'm aggravated because I didn't have to do it. I didn't spend nearly as much money as I did last year just because I chose to take cheap-ass options more often as part of that aggravation. But it's like...
You know, I didn't... That's interesting to say because last year, while packed, it still felt more spread out than what this year was. This year seemed to be within 3 weeks, I think.
It was a real heavy density, basically right
in October,
right in
the first 2 weeks of November.
Yeah, it was pretty
very
heavy.
Very thick. Last year it felt a little bit more spread out. It felt like middle of October, last week of October, second week of November. A little bit more gap there, but it's interesting to look at it and see that last year for this, I didn't do Gamefly.
Yeah.
Ooh.
This year...
That's true, I didn't do that either.
I totally did that, because I saw what was coming, I saw the space that I had to play all this, and I'm like, well, I damn sure ain't buying all this shit. So yeah, send it to my Gamefly. If I love it, I will totally buy it, you know, keep it from
buy it
me.
Off Gamefly, yeah.
Yeah, oh yeah, totally. Yep. And that's one of the other things, and it's almost a chicken and the egg scenario, but game prices go up, wouldn't you see the revenue to rental companies or maybe the used game market start to take over then?
I don't know.
But then again, of course, you've got
I mean,
to,
yeah.
they've got to buy those expect. Games to get to them, and then used, of course, you have to have those games as well.
But if one of these games came out in February...
Are there any like finance majors or anything out there that are listening to our show? I honestly am seeking an explanation, because I know from personal experience how and why games sell
with the exclusion of Pactor. I don't want to hear from you.
No, I know why they sell in the holiday season, because that's when parents spend a lot of money, but at the same time, I know that we spend an enormous amount of money. That attach rate to that system is defined a lot by people like us. And I'm going to spend less in a year overall when you cram that shit. You pack it in.
Oh, yeah, right there
so
at the holidays.
So much that I simply can't do it.
And I can guarantee you I would not have played Too Human if it hadn't come out the time of year it came out.
Yeah.
If it had come out during this time of year, I don't know if I ever would have gotten around to it.
Yeah, you would have. You got it for free at PAX.
But I wouldn't have got it at PAX, because PAX is in a completely different time of
his
the
point
year.
Is still, his point is still valid.
Yeah.
Like, and this is something I understand. I don't see a season for gaming. Obviously, there's a season for sales in general.
Yeah.
But I play video games all year round.
Yeah, somebody has got to explain to me exactly why
and
it
there ain't
could,
jack shit
why
coming
it
out in January.
Work. And I'm not talking about why it does work to sell in the holidays. Retail knows why that works. I'm saying why this particular thing, being a legitimately non-seasonal thing, it isn't clothing, it isn't branded items attached to any particular whatever. I mean, it's, you know, I don't know. It's a sustainable hobby. Why couldn't it work to, like, take this same
game?
And
maybe this is just ignorance on my part, but I don't see, like, a shit ton of, you know, movie companies waiting to put their DVDs out at Christmas. Like,
now, the only thing
shit comes out all year round.
Special editions.
Yeah, the only thing.
Special editions, maybe.
And there's only one thing that
season sets
that movies really. There's only one time, and that is to get in. You know, so that in case you have an Oscar contender at whatever level for your thing, like that's the only thing.
Right.
So if you want it before this time, like. Get it in there so it's still fresh in people's minds, but no.
But yeah, like they just, you know, a couple months after a movie is out, the DVD comes. Like I don't you know.
I'd be interested to hear from our listeners, because I think this group of people are not people who have games purchased for them at Christmas.
That's true.
Yeah.
Like,
well, I mean, yeah.
You guys get what you want. The people that know you know that.
Yeah.
So, are there people whose mothers arbitrarily buy them some 360 game?
I mean, yeah, like,
because it's on the shelf.
If you're going to get something from me, you got to get a gift card, because I've already gotten the games
that were there
to play.
I was going
to
buy.
Guys,
yeah.
Are there
people out there that like open stuff on, like they go to visit their family for the holidays and they get like random ass 360 games?
Yeah, I don't know. Unless
that's an interesting question. But I will say that like I was looking at January, and like that's. And I was trying to think about this, like, there's, like, nothing. And I'm like, man, why doesn't more shit come out in January? Because all of these people just got consoles for Christmas.
Yeah.
Like,
well, I know I'm totally playing armchair analyst here, but if you look at the games we buy, they peak, you know, at the release and, like, up to a week after, and then they just, like, really bottom out. So I have to think it's got to be us that are buying them and not a bunch of parents buying it as presents for their kids.
In terms of defining...
Yeah, their peak sale weeks are obviously, like,
the week.
People
week
are buying it when it comes out with the intention of playing it right then.
Yeah.
Not as a gift.
So, yeah, so if it was primary, if the sales, you're saying that if the sales were generated primarily by gift buying, then you would see the sales of a November 1st game
spread
shooting
out
way the hell up.
Right.
On December 15th or something
Like
that.
Or just even spread out.
I see what you mean, yeah.
Along the, yeah.
No, I think that's a very valid and obvious point. But again, I don't know. Just in general, maybe it's just finally to the point where I've seen enough of them that I don't have any kind of faith that we're going to continue to see things work the way we want them to. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's this on top of the fact that we can't really have as many experimental failures without some sort of catastrophic loss because of economic troubles.
Right.
I don't know anymore. I know that I would like to see a different approach, but everybody seems so rigid in their position. And, you know, walk into a game store. $60 games on your left, and there's $7 games on your right. Because, you know, the PS2 is some kind of infinite moneymaker. And there it is. So how the hell, even if you're a parent, even if you're talking about that one sector that makes decisions for the child, like, it's impossible to convince them of the validity of a more...
Of paying $60 for a video game.
Yeah. Over eight.
$60 for a video game after the $400 for the console.
Yeah.
It's impossible to convince them of that. Validity is not an option when you're discussing those things because there's $7, $8, $10, $12 games over here. And that's another weird thing. It's just so complicated, and I have my own needs of gaming. And mm-hmm. I'm really wondering if my needs are any good for
the industry,
thing as a whole. It's become very confusing to me. It's no longer what it once was. Sit around, follow the magazines, follow the information, wait for a great game to hit, play it, absorb it, freak out about it, pick it up at a midnight launch, be totally excited that I'm in the moment of availability with everyone else, and beat it, and talk about it, and yammer on about it, and then be done with it, and repeat. Like, I find myself in my own head repeating, like, questions about why it's all fucked up. You know? And I don't expect a really interesting ending anymore.
Yeah.
So.
All right, then.
Speaking of uninteresting endings.
We actually... Well, we actually kind of have an interesting ending.
We do?
Yeah.
Before we get to that, again, Daniel being your last show.
Yeah.
With us here in the studio, you joined us in March of this year?
February, March.
April.
After Colton.
It was April then, because it was the end of March when we went to see Colton, wasn't it?
I have no idea.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, it was April, so been a good month with
episodes
you.
Episodes ago.
And enjoyed it. We're going to have an empty chair here next week and the weeks following.
You should go find a homeless guy. It's probably going to be a bad... It probably is a bad...
No, actually, you know, for what it's worth...
Real estate space there.
you know, we are... I think it's pretty self-evident to anybody who pays attention to how we do the shows. You know, we might try something different, but at the moment we can't see really doing any more than just the two shows a week now because we don't have Jeremy.
On Wednesdays.
For our Wednesday shows.
Right.
Yeah.
That's true.
And Dennis left us a ways back, and you'll be gone, and, like, you know, we're totally... I mean, we're borderline useless as it is, but, like, we're genuinely, like, demonstrably useless if there's any less than three of us. We simply don't have the critical mass necessary to get shit started.
Yeah.
So.
And, you know, I'll try and call in when I can from over in the middle of nowhere, Texas.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, definitely.
Certainly.
Well,
I'll
mean, you're still
going to
be
a Texan correspondent.
Yeah.
You're still going to be on the cog. You're still going to be on the cog boards and
right.
over the threads.
Yeah,
I mean,
of course.
You're not leaving in that sense, but the show.
It's not like I'm going to vanish into the ether.
Yeah.
There'll be a chair empty in the studio, though.
Well, sure, we'll leave one in.
You can cry.
There's not that many to begin with. We usually end up bringing our.
Yeah, we've
in
been
here.
Having to haul
There'll
a bunch of chairs in here
to reach
lately.
All the really low to the ground stuff.
Anymore. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Or know what all the young kids are doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, our youngest.
I tell you what, we are going to have to find somebody to talk about.
Our uselessly hip flavor of the month busted T-shirt contingent is going to.
I was going to say, how are you going to know about clever T-shirts in like farting games?
How are we going to know about the sim experience games, the building your own shit games?
There's a lot of old frumpy shit in this studio, Daniel. he counteracts that shit a little bit by being, you know, younger than I ever was.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
I don't even know how to
work. I was born at like 31.
Okay. Interesting.
During the during the recording of this, I got a private message from Magnum, who says, "I just wanted
PI?
To."
PI?
That was like my level of joke.
Got that somewhere.
From like the Robin Masters estate?
Yes.
He totally needs to change his name to Magnum PI.
God, that's excellent. All right, well.
Anyway, he sent us a message, or he sent me a PM. He said, "I want to let you guys know that I'm really enjoying the podcast that you guys put out. I never got into it over at EVAV, mainly because I haven't been a big podcast listener up until recently. I finally downloaded some episodes over the weekend and started listening today, and it's great. You guys do a great job, and I'll be listening in from now on."
That's awesome.
Well, good.
Which is, and one of the reasons really I'm sure he started listening was because he did send us a Christmas greeting to put it to the end of the show.
And then he felt guilty for never listening to the show.
He's like, wait a second. Who did I just send this to?
He decided to buy his ticket into the Holiday Greetings caravan.
Yeah, what do these guys, what do, these guys do? So, yeah, he sent us that. So, congratulations. Welcome aboard.
Shout out to Magnum PI.
Oh, also, for your Christmas travels, a new Fudcast episode was released where they talk about Chrono Trigger.
The DS Chrono Trigger?
I believe.
What were they like? I didn't know if maybe it was just
they
like...
they kicked it back old school?
Well, if they were emulating or something, like just to discuss the game in general, and if it was inspired by the release of the DS version.
I'd have to go back and look, but it's Chrono Trigger-centric.
It would probably be more interesting if all like available ways of playing it were represented in that discussion. Mm-hmm. So
it would be interesting.
Check out the difference.
I'll just give my holiday greeting right now. Since we're talking about podcasts and holiday travel... our friends at the Fudcast, our friends at the Moofcast,
Casts of the World.
Our friends at Bobby Blackwolf Show. I can't talk, but Bobby Blackwolf. And Super Happy Fun Time Show.
Yeah.
To all of our friends.
Shout outs to the podcast.
Our fellow podcasters.
Even podcast those of you that we've been ducking in online gaming for months on end.
Yeah, we'll figure it out one day. One day. We'll figure out how to play these motherfuckers.
We're just practicing.
Yeah. No, I was like, we're just buying time. Like, we're trying to find a game we're all
good
at.
We've already picked the game. We're just, you know.
Trying to find a game we're all good at now.
Becoming unbelievably good at it.
No. But yeah, so...
this may take a while.
That's it. That's the only show you get this week. And we will be back next week with another episode.
Have
a great holiday.
It'll be the same thing next week because we're, you know, the same... you know, bullshit holiday sort of thing repeats next week as well.
Totally. So have a good one and enjoy the Christmas readings coming up next, and we will see you next week here on In-Game Chat.
Hey, this is Nick from CoOptimist.com. Just want to wish everybody a happy holidays and a safe new year. And remember, this holiday season to give the gift of co-op.
Hey, this is National Cato. I'd like to wish everyone a safe and happy holiday, especially Civil's mother, despite her apparent lack of taste in contest giveaway entries. I mean, really.
Happy holidays from Mott.
Violet. UW Crash.
Heretic Machine.
Ghost Bear.
And Gashaman.
Hey there, In-Game Chat and the COG crew. This is Ravenlock in soon-to-be post-apocalyptic Pittsburgh saying congratulations on hitting the Child's Play charity mark, and thanks for helping to make 2008 such a good year. Here's to an even better 2009. Happy holidays and Happy New Year.
This is Kojak wishing the colony a very Merry Christmas. May enemy's blood be spilled under the mistletoe.
Hey, this is Magnum wishing everyone on COG a happy holiday. I also want to give a special shout-out to Rennie for sending me secret Facebook messages, which are always fun to read. And, of course, to ADD Girl, Ms. Claus, for sending me those great gifts in the mail. Hope everybody has a great holiday.
Hi, everyone. This is Shren wishing everyone from In-Game Chat and the COG community a very Merry Christmas.
Hi, this is Rogue Hunter, and I'd like to wish a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to all the PAX people, as well as all the Team Fortress 2 and Left 4 Dead peeps. Hope to see you online in the new year.
Hey, this is Track Zero. I just want to wish a Merry Christmas to everyone at IGC and at Colony of Gamers. Take her easy.
Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Delightful Festus from Agor to everyone at COG. And special holiday wishes to the COD4 crew. Killaren, Evo G, Track Zero, BHZ, Shinoshi, Code Monkey, Silent Death, Daniel Out, Hemorrhage, Fitz, Bone Matrix Gerbs, Tashi, and the rest of the crew. And most importantly, Track's mom. Happy Holidays.